Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back to post-show recaps coverage of A League of Their Own. My name is Grace. We're here to chat about Switch Hitter Episode 4 of The League of Their Own on Amazon Prime. But I'm not alone. First, a woman who is tall and can be seen from anywhere. Marissa, how are you doing?
Yeah, contrary to popular belief, yeah, I am quite tall. Yeah, I'm doing well. How are you?
I am great. Next, a woman who can never go back to Massachusetts, Sarah Ferguson.
No, I'm kind of banned there. I haven't been there in a while.
Yeah, I had sort of pick of the litter this episode for fun things to call out. It's a very funny episode, I thought, this one.
Yeah, four. I thought Switch so, hitting. Too.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that, you know, you switched our positions within, you know, I'm the bottom box of the stream yard. I thought you were going to tell me to go to the top left box. You go to the bottom.
Oh!
I did it on
Grace
the podcast.
Grace just switched the box. Yeah. No, I don't like it. Switch me back. Switch me back.
It's bad. Yeah, it's bad. Yeah, go back to your old position. Too. Yeah.
Yeah, I want my old position.
That's funny. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. That was pretty incredible.
Yeah. Big episode. Dove got a new job. This definitely doesn't happen in the movie. Imagine Jimmy Dugan just left halfway through the movie.
Is this actually what's happening? Do we get Nick Offerman for three episodes and then gone?
A check, Sarah.
a check.
I don't know if that's it. That feels short. I have to imagine. I don't know. You could see a couple of things happening, like not to get like too predicty before we even recap this episode, but like, does it not go well? Does he come back? He like begs for his job. And is there like a redemption arc to like that? But like, yeah, it could just be gone, I guess. That could have been the Nick Offerman experience.
What does the old IMDb say?
So This is a dangerous game to play. I do love IMDb, but it will tell you how many episodes people are in. So if you don't want to know the answer to whether Nick Offerman is going to come more episodes or not.
I forgot. This is a non-spoilery podcast, even though the entire series is out. But the three of us have only seen, four episodes.
I talk about the podcaster plight a lot, which is like, I'm being very tongue-in-cheek, listeners, when I say this. But we're probably the only people who watch the show by like watching one episode and then talking about it for an hour. Marissa, we're the only people to watch Russian Doll that. Rich and I were just like, we're chatting about an episode of like some episodes of The Sandman. We're like, I wish it would pick up the pace. It's like, you could have watched them all in a row. You stopped watching. Netflix said, you want another episode? You're like, no, thanks.
Slowing down the pace, actually. No,
I'll pass. I got to go chit chat about it. Yeah. I got to debrief this episode. So, yeah, we're like the only people doing this, right? So, yeah. Yeah. So the audience can laugh at us because they know what
they know. They know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love we get the propaganda video style video.
Yes.
Make an appearance at the beginning of this episode. Yeah.
Best part of that was Shirley in the outfield with the flute. She still finds time for her hobbies.
Yes. All of them just like knitting and playing the flute. It's great. I thought a little bit of a plot twist that like I Max has been like, I'm going to be a pitcher and I'm going to get this job at the factory. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get on the team and then I'm going to play for the Negro League. And then she totally blows her audition.
Shocked. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. And I wonder, like, did she really blow it? Or is it that, I don't know. I mean, what do we think? Do you think that she has the chops that she says she does? Or do you think that she choked a little?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think there are people with high talent can choke. And I think that her pitches were good enough to hit. So it's not, except for that last one that was like
a little.
Yeah. But, you know, they're in the zone. Like the thing with pitching is like, you don't want them to hit the ball, but your job is to put it in a place where they can hit it. Right. Like that is. And then like pretend that they can't hit it or like hope that they don't hit it. But you got to put it in that box. You got to get it there. And she pitched well.
How common is a perfect game in pitching?
Ooh.
Very rare. Yeah. Very rare.
Ask Greg Maddux. That's the only.
Yeah. I want to say it's like the most rare thing. Like as we are recording this last night, there was almost a perfect game, but it got broken up in the first batter of the ninth inning, I believe. It's very rare. There's been a fair amount of no hitters, but a perfect game is very rare. I'm vamping here. 23 times in the history of baseball, and only 21 times since the modern era, which started in 1901. So.
Which means when there's lights.
Yeah, which we'll get into.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So 23-ish times. Yeah, it's very rare.
It's as much pressure as there is on a pitcher. It's like the whole game's not pitching. There's a whole big, you know, part to it. So she pitched well. I don't know what they were looking for. If the expectation was to be, you know, she kind of just went up there. There was no like, it was show me what you got. Well, she didn't do horribly. She didn't ground anything. She had one off base pitch, I think. In that whole
thing. I think the idea is it's like
you got to throw
big old meatballs, though. I think the guy was
that's
pretty
true.
Far.
Yeah,
So very interesting. There's a plot twist. We sort of leave on this cliffhanger a bit of like, hey, not here, but I need you to do me a favor. Favor, blackmail. I don't know.
What is our predictions of what this mysterious favor is going to be?
Let me be on the team.
That's what I was thinking and hoping.
How's that going to play out?
So, I mean, a couple episodes ago, we were talking about Max and Carson being in the grocery store. And so you were like, boy, I wish you stuck up for a little more.
Here's your team.
And boy, you want to stick up for a teammate. Yeah, it will be interesting because I feel like part of the reason why we assumed that like Max would get on the team, she'd get to play on the Negro League. Like women, like black women did play in the Negro League. So there's this idea that like perhaps it's like a take on I don't think any black women played in the All-American Girls League.
Correct.
So it'd certainly be the show taking some liberties, which I'm totally, you know, this is historical fiction. Doesn't need to be like historically 100% accurate, right? So maybe that's not what happens as well. So
I could totally see her because when Max first tries to get on the team, she approaches the coach and says, just let me pitch practices. Let me pitch practices so that I can get, you know, so that I forget his name, Joe Mr. Fox can like, you know, rest up because he's given us, you know, he's given us too much here on the mound. So maybe
that's her ask of Carson. Like, I need to get better, not necessarily be on the team, but I need to get better. Can I practice with you? And they run those, like, well, first of all, we got Dove out of the equation, and now we've got, and they've been running those night practices, and I'm sure they'll run more based on how this episode went. So maybe there's an opportunity for practice here. She's been throwing up against a wall at a box.
How hilarious that they practice in the dark in the next episode. Like, they're not very good at playing in the dark, huh?
Well, yeah, I will say there's two things that this team doesn't have: a current strong pitcher, because Lupe is still injured, and the sub in pitcher is like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore.
She's gassed.
She's gassed. And then they don't have a coach anymore. So. Yeah.
There's an opportunity.
Can Max fill in one of those spots somehow?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they sort of play with what happens. And I do think, like, there was a sense that, like, when she came to tryout, I felt like they've done a good job through four episodes. Did we get any crossover last episode between any of Max's stuff with the team? I don't think so, although I could be wrong. They did a good job through like four episodes of like making sure that, like, even though there's like most of the story is separate, that there is at least one point where like they're they interact with each other. Them, like, Max living in Rockford certainly helps, but certainly if you just like have her on the team, feels like a way to like more fully have all the show, because it does kind of feel like there's like often two stories that are giving total equal weight, which is I think it's great.
Well, and this is the first time we see Max like actually seek out going to, like, she goes to a game, right? Like, there have been games, but she actually goes to a game. She wants to, you know, interact, not just, you know, run into people in alleys or grocery stores. So
And then I think the other big piece of the episode, maybe we'll start there. We're sort of like our recapping of the episode, but Greta and Carson sneaking around, being in a relationship, although perhaps by the end of the episode, it's not exactly what the relationship that Carson was sort of hoping it would be. We start with them sort of, they're looking for a place where they can go and make out. And I love all these scenes of like the paranoia of like, does anybody know this place? She's like, yeah, I think they all know about this place. Okay, we can't go here. It's like, what is that, an owl? Yeah, I think it's just like an owl because we're making out in the street. Like, we got to go. Like,
we got to go.
Owls? Like, yeah,
so fun. There's a lot of owls on shows I cover. I don't know what it is, but there's owls.
Yeah, it's very, you know, you have your high school significant other and you're sneaking around so your parents don't catch you energy, which is honestly like, you know, that's like kind of the sauciest times you can get. It's like a little bit of fun, but it's very dangerous.
How much of the beginning of the episode has Carson come in and be like, hey, I'm going to the library. If he wants to come, we could all come. We could all go to the library, or like you could come, you know. We'll see later, like Jess and Joe have a little bit of a thing that I think it's a thing. Do you think Jess knows? Does Jess know? Is this like all like, you know, fine?
I think that. What do you think? Everybody on this team probably knows except for Shirley at this point.
Maybe Maybelle.
Maybe Maybelle. I see. Yeah. I think like Shirley is very like naive to everything and, you know, seems a little bit to have closed-minded views perhaps. And who knows who's telling Maybelle what, but I think like the majority of the team is at least, I mean, Joe, especially, she's like, I know what you're doing. And, you know, this has happened before and you should cut it out, essentially. Also, jealous vibes.
Yeah, we joked whether Greta was the villain. We were like, after episode, like, is Greta the villain? We were like, oh, I don't think Greta's the villain. And then I'm like, is Shirley the villain? It's like very homophobic, but also very funny. I've never thought homophobia was as funny as when Shirley's like, but she's definitely queer, you know?
Like,
she's
definitely queer. And then Carson's like, don't worry, just like, we'll figure this out. Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe it's because like she's like, I have figured out the biggest secret that has ever come across this team. And everyone's like, yeah, bro, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the magic of Shirley, I think.
It's just so funny. Cate Blanchett, is she, Cate Blanchett? That's her name. Cate Blanchett, yep. Is her name. So funny just being like, yeah, but like she actually is, like as the Carson's trying to like walk away. He's like, yeah, but like she is queer. Like, yeah, she is. I also love when a show, especially a sports movie, does the like, the relationship is going well, so everything else is going well. Mm-hmm. This is very like Fever Pitch. I don't know if any of you watched Fever, which is the Jimmy Fallon movie, where like anytime the relationship is going well, the team plays well. Anytime the relationship is going bad, the team plays badly. So then the Red Sox win the World Series because the relationship goes well. Drew Barrymore, Jimmy Fallon, Greta and Carson like making out. Team winning,
doing great. They're no longer in last place. It's so fantastic.
Never seen people so happy to be in third place.
But okay, so let me it's 3 out of 4.
Correct.
There's four teams.
3 out of 4. Yeah,
but they are no longer number 4. I mean, this also reminded me of Heartstopper a little bit, like just in terms of the energy and like
so cute. Cute. Naive gay romance. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, we just need the doodles and we're
in Heartstopper Land. Yeah, the like swapping of rooms is great as well. And again, Cate Blanchett is great in this when like when Carson like figures out the math how to like get them all swapped. And but Shirley is the one who has to like say it, and then she's just like, that's such a good idea. She's like, I know, I just thought of it like literally right now.
I love the build up to this whole thing because there was right? Like there was the whole like, hey, Carson's figuring out how to like get in the same room as Greta, and then they get there.
Yeah.
And they're at a convent and they can't talk.
They're at the convent.
Yeah,
I thought that there'd be more sitcom-y to like we're in a church and we're being like I kind of thought there'd be more there, but it's fun. They end up in the same room together. It's great.
Yeah, it's also like a great like as a former Catholic, it's a great statement to the church.
Yes,
by putting this.
Yes, what happens in your church? Yeah, that you don't know about. Yeah. They fill out the team here with like these other random, and Carson like swaps the rooms and then like gets Greta and Carson to make the look at each other. And she's like, this like extra is like, why are you so happy? She's like, I just love God. She's like, me too. This episode's really funny. I thought this episode was very, very funny. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it as well. I think that there was like a little bit of a lateness in it. And I also think that the women got to shine because Dove left midway through the episode randomly. And it was Lupe and Carson who had to step up and become kind of like the Dottie role of being the coach.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. An interesting take on the sort of coach issue. We get some very good hand signal gestures in this episode.
Very synchronized. Very synchronized. Like, it was so good. As much as these two characters, Carson and Lupe, had like their kerfuffles and their disagreements, they were very in sync on their signals.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying the performance of Lupe, Roberta Calandres. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that exactly right, but she's been really tremendous. Just to get back to like Greta and Carson, I do love this reveal here of like Carson finally asking like, why were you with a man that night? And we're gonna get like Greta's rule book. I have rules that I live by to keep me safe, which is a thing. You've talked, I think, about this, Marissa, bring this up a lot of Greta's like confidence and a lot of like the way she behaves is safety. And I think coming out of the end of episode one, it was like it felt like such a like, you know, heel turn from Greta to like walk out of the bar with the man. And we find out that it's like, no, anytime I'm like, you know, just in case I got like spotted, I'm leaving the bar with a man. So I basically have an alibi. I think it's like, and this, like the idea of like, these are my rules and this is how I stay safe. And this is how it has to be, is essentially what Greta's going to like tell Carson later. I find very fascinating.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting statement on confidence in general. As I mean, yes, there's the safety thing, but like she's using confidence as a safety mechanism for herself. But also, like, what does that mean when you see a confident woman, and what are they like? How does confidence play? There's so many layers to confidence, and I think it's really interesting how the show is playing with this, because we see confidence from many characters, and in this case, with Greta, we've got it on the safety side. We've got confidence and skill with Lupe. She just wants to get, she just wants, she thinks like my arm will be broken.
And I want everybody to kiss her muscles.
So we've got like, you know, a multifaceted commentary on confidence, which I think is pretty, pretty cool to see. But yeah, it was great to get this reveal from Greta because it also showed vulnerability from her to Carson. It's like, okay, like, yes, we're having fun. Yeah, but I actually, you know, have feelings and trust you in this way because I'm going to tell you this information. Really, the all we can glean is that Joe's the only person, the only other person that knows about the rules. So she's like in that circle of trust now.
Yeah, so I think it's interesting because like we talked last episode of like, oh boy, end of episode three, they like are together and they seem happy and like where's the conflict going to come from? And I think rightfully so. I think both of you were like, yeah, and like having to like be in a relationship when you're not allowed to be like openly gay. And so we get it here. We're like, I think they do a good job here of like having Greta establish like her rules that are going to like establish where the conflict I think will come.
Right. And the boundaries even, as well. Yeah, and the frustration that Carson feels because she doesn't have this type of experience before. So she doesn't know, you know, she kind of lives in a world where it's a little bit more rose-colored glasses because she doesn't know what could happen when she puts herself in a vulnerable situation. So definitely the frustration that Carson's feeling. She also is like very eager and Greta is more eager to take things slowly and kind of see how things, you know, ebb and flow. And I think that it's just interesting how they're kind of on totally, they have a fire for each other, but they also are coming at it from different types of experiences and different, you know, wants out of this. And I think that's going to be interesting how they maneuver their relationship going forward. And once again, how many people in the team know the more gets out? Is it going to become an issue? How is Joe going to factor into all of this? Do we think that Joe has feelings for Greta or is she just being protective of her friend? You know, it's pretty interesting dynamic.
Yeah. I think the other thing that's interesting here is like to the point of like taking it slow is so because like there's a sense of like Carson is seemingly is the one who I think you'd be more likely to be like because she left like she left like, you know, Charlie went to war, but she left like the house. She left this idea of like, you know, being the spouse, like the wife of this man and is coming to play baseball. And she's not seeing this, I think, as something that I think she's seeing this as like potentially like, oh, this is what my life can be. Whereas I think Greta is much more in the camp of like, this is what the reality of like being out at this time looks like, is that like, it's fleeting. Like we won't get to like settle down in terms of like, she's like, well, you know, eventually it'll be September and you'll go back to Charlie and Joe and I will go to California. Right. So Greta's is seeing it as something that's much more fleeting. And it, like, I think oddly so is like taking like her time with it, like sitting, like, you know, enjoying it a bit more than like seemingly perhaps Carson is, because Carson is so excited by this, but probably is also the person who like doesn't see it ending.
Well, and if you think about it from Carson's perspective, she's got this like career opportunity she's never had. She's got this like sexuality experience she's never had. And so she's just like swimming in freedom, right? Like she's just like, look at me. I can do all these things. No, there's no stopping me now. And you've got a bit of a reality check in Greta, who has, you know, been able to figure this out about herself and live this life for a while. And is kind of like, hey, I know this world a little bit better than you, and I'm going to cherish what we have in the moment. I'm not going to think, you know, 3 years, 4 years down the line.
Yeah. So this is going to culminate in the conversation that Joe is going to have with Greta to be like, hey, you're not being safe enough. Like you're not following the rules. Greta is going to say like, ooh, some jealousy. I kind of hope that's not where we're going. I kind of love the idea that like Joe and Greta can like both be these like queer women who are out and have this understanding and can be queer friends who aren't just in love with each other. Like, I feel like there's a lot of like TV now. I know Ariel talks a lot about like, he loves it when he just like sees like platonic friendship in something. And I kind of want that to be the case. I would not, you know, if the show goes there, it's fine. I'm not exactly hoping that this ends up being like a, like a love triangle type situation. I like, you know, I thought like Joe's placement in the show was going to be as like a sounding board for Greta. This is the first time we really get a scene that's just the two of them. Mm-hmm. And they say a lot, right? And Joe being like, you're not following the rules. And you know, I love rules. So I'm with Joe on this one. And Greta being like, yeah, relax, whatever. But then really taking it to heart, right? Like sometimes like your friends like tell you stuff that you're like, no. You're like later, you're like, okay, yeah, yeah, you're probably right. And she's going to kind of like tell Carson like, no, hey, we can't do that. Like, you know, we're home now. We're not like, we don't have a room in the church where we can be like, you know, secretly ourselves. We have to play by the rules, which is a little heartbreaking for Carson. It's so sad. I don't like it. There's a lot of sadness in this episode, yeah. Actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Joe and Greta have been through some stuff. Like, I think in the last mm-hmm. episode, they referenced like, you know, you can't go home, or it's this one where you can't go home to Massachusetts and like stuff has happened.
You can never go back to Massachusetts.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. stuff like that. So, you know, they have a shared history, and I do hope it's like a platonic one. So like as Greta's being a check for Carson, Joe's being a check for Greta. Who's going to be Joe's check? Is Joe going to go mm-hmm. crazy? Like go run
Jess,
wild.
Maybe. Jess.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Or Shirley. Shirley's just going to lay it down. I don't know. But I do think, you know, it's talking about the community it takes to keep each other safe during this time.
Yeah. So that's basically where we're going to end the Carson Greta stuff in this episode. But boy, if we want to chat about a sad, you know, when two friends fight, I was very upset to see where we end up with Max and Clance.
Yeah.
So sad. They're on the right foot at the beginning and talking about the paycheck. And Clance is going to get a job at the factory because it's going to make more money. I thought like, you know, talking about relationship goals between Guy and Clance, this relationship, this conversation they have where he's like, no, he's obviously very depressed. He's going to be going off to war. He's very upset. It's so cute that they like speak in comic language, at least Sunday morning cartoon language. What is his name? Speed Jackson.
Yeah.
It's so cute, this thing. And but him being like, no, you're not working at the factory. And she's like, well, this is kind of what needs to happen. So I think it's going to happen. Like, I'm going to go do it. I'm going to go work at the factory. I like that she, you know, has as much authority in this relationship as he does.
Yeah, she doesn't want to lose the house that they worked so hard to get. So if that means that she works at the factory, then she's going to do it. She's going to protect the home that they're building, you know, so that they can hopefully have the family that they want to eventually have. So I think that, and as much as it was like, I don't know, not permission, there was a discussion that had to have for her to sign on. And it was nice to see Clance in her little onesie. It's not a onesie, but a
in
onesie.
Her factory outfit.
In her factory like, outfit.
What would that be called? Boy, all of us clearly work.
Like, uniform?
Very blue collar. Yeah, I guess. Like her overall. It's like
that's coverall. It's like a coverall. Yeah. Or something like that. Yeah. I loved how she was like, what do we do? What's that?
I love Max being like, cover for me. And she's like, but how? I've just started.
That would be me at the factory. I'd be like, oh, I don't want to break my nail. Like, actually, like, I don't, am I going to get dirty doing this? Like, I feel like I'm going to be like a Clance. Clance is probably a better sport than I would be.
One
quick historical side note. So Speed Jackson is like a real comic that ran mm-hmm. in the Chicago Defender. And the Chicago Defender was a Black-owned newspaper, which is very, very like important to a lot of history in general. Mm-hmm. Used to be able to get it on the street. You can't get it on the street anymore. It's now a digital copy. But it's something that you see Max's dad reading at a point in this episode as well. So it was nice to see that folded in.
I do love when Clance comes in like is like, you're only reading it for the bad news, and he's like, that's all there is. And she's like, no, there's not. Look, tornadoes, riots, oh, mine collapses.
Relatable content, Clance. Relatable content.
Yeah, this is Guy doing the first ever doom scrolling? Is that what he's doing? Wow. We also get more parent troubles between Max and mostly her mom, because her dad's normally very supportive and actually will be very supportive later in the episode. Tony is now worried, like, the factory job, it's great, but like, what about when all the white men come back and like want their jobs back? And she's like, don't worry, I'll be in the Negro League by then, so no problem.
She's got a plan.
I have a plan. I love her dad being like, well, if you're going to pay rent, she's like, ah, no. No, I'm not paying rent. I love their relationship. I love Max. And I believe I'm not sure we knew his name other than Mr. Chapman. I believe his name is Edgar.
Also love Tony in this too. She's like, I only give eggs to paying customers. Yes. Like, she's like showing her anger in a very loving way, in a way, teasing her a bit.
Yeah. Clance is going to be talking. Guy is very upset. Alarming sign when your husband is not clipping his toenails. He loves clipping his toenails.
Oh, goodness.
Everyone's got something.
Max is the perfect solution. A double date. Nothing could possibly go wrong on a comedy show when there's a double date.
No, don't go on a double date. It's always a scam. Don't do
like,
it.
In real life?
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to double date.
What scams are being held?
Well, number one, there's always awkwardness because the guys usually don't have that much in common. So that's number one. Number two, it's never fun a double date.
Hold on. And that's a scam that the men won't have anything in common?
I just think that the scam is, oh, this is going to be fun. The double date is going to be fun. And it's a scam because you think it's going to be fun and it never is.
I assume you were like, don't go on a double date. Like, someone was like, so what's your like credit card number? Like, what's your SIN number? SIN, that's a Canadian term. Her social identity number. So guys depressed. I mean, rightfully so. Been drafted to war, you know?
Yeah. I appreciated this look because usually like when we see like a war story of like men are like, yeah, let's go, I can't wait, let's kill it, like,
burn
let's
my
get
country.
The Nazis, like,
yeah, this is
know,
a different
like,
version of masculinity, right?
I appreciate seeing that. I appreciate the you know, there's a point in that conversation where Clance is like, you can say it, you know, you can say you're afraid of dying, and that it speaks again to the again relationship goals, but you know, you get that vulnerability to come out of him and you get to kind of really understand what he's going through.
All right. We have to pick up a shift at the factory. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. We come back.
I got my coverall. I'm ready to go.
Okay. Round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire. Huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. We are back. I do like their first day. It's like, oh, Cheryl's here. And when they get past Cheryl's like, wow, she's really dumb. She called me to ask for my phone number. Sassy Clance. Throwing some shade. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, and we're gonna see if a Fox has quit the job. We'll learn that he was poached by another, I believe, a distillery to play for their baseball team. So because he quit, there's an opening on the baseball team.
Isn't that interesting? Like, isn't that like an interesting? We don't have to think about that. Like, I'm just like that. The sports scheme was also career advancement.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I mean, it is interesting. If you're good at sports and mediocre at your job, you can still, go up in the world.
Yeah, I'm hoping I get poached from my job so I can like play on a softball team or something. You know, that'd be great. What a life we'd live. I love Clance being confused at not working this type of job. It was just like, I can't afford to lose a limb, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cover for me. How? What do we do?
What do they do?
What is that thing? I don't know. Yeah,
Max, they make screws. Yeah. Wait, have you heard my theory about screws and nails? I have a theory that nobody ever buys screws or nails. They just manifest and appear in your house. When was the last time you both bought a nail or a screw? And tell me, probably never. And then tell me how many nails and screws you have in your house.
I have a box of nails that I bought to hang pictures, but I bought it like 10 years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I have still one from when I moved into my apartment. That's like a box of different type of like, also to like hang up things.
You just buy one and you're good for life.
I remember one time my dad took me to the store and there were like, I could not compute how many screws there were. I was like, I don't understand why we need so many or how this works. Bob Vila will tell you on this
podcast. There's more like, is there more wheels or doors?
Yes.
More doors or screws?
Did we ever find out what the answer was, if there's more wheels or doors?
You're a Hank Green. I feel like Hank Green had a TikTok on
he
it.
He did.
I can't remember what he said, though. The problem with where the answer is 50-50 is like, there's more wheels. Yeah. That makes sense.
I don't know.
I think it's
doors. Because if you say there's, you know, a car has four wheels. Oh, you know, it has to have, but there's also
four doors.
But there's also like wheels inside of doors.
Wait, what?
This made sense at one point in my brain.
Door
this
has
made
wheels.
Sense in my, yes. And then, yeah.
But not as many wheels in that door than there would be doors on every car.
How many doors do you have in your house, though? I have definitely more doors than wheels in my house.
I have at least seven wheels that I can see.
What do you mean you have seven wheels in your house?
My desk chair has five wheels, and I have I have a stationary bike that has two wheels.
Oh wait, I'm sitting on a chair that has wheels.
Yeah. See?
They get you every time.
Well,
but if you count metaphorical doors, like girls playing baseball, doors outnumber the wheels.
Amazing. Max going to get an opportunity to pitch. But when we go to the blind date, the double date, bad news. And this is, there's so much in it. Again, I think the writing of the show is excellent because there's so much in here. So not only does like a guy end up being like, I thought you were getting the pitching job. And so Gary is like, I didn't want to tell you that. And also like Max and Gary storm out. Clance is like, no, you're just going to give the Germans our coordinates, huh? like you spill every bit of information ever given to you.
You can't keep a secret.
It's so good. It's so good. They feel like America, you know, they're like America. It's great.
I keep going to this. I think the Lucy and Desi situation, like I just, I could see it as like a model for them in a little way.
So good. Fact that he's like, you know, you sent me an invitation to a guy's cafe. I thought you were cheap, but you're actually just a good cook. You make the pork. It's good. This is pretty brutal. I feel like it's interesting because like Guy does something, Gary does something wrong here, I would say, in not telling Max. And I like this like line where he's like, why is it the only thing that matters to you? And she's like, because it is. I don't have to give you an explanation for why I care about baseball so much. Like, I don't know. I think that this is really good. There's a lot of tension here. Max has been like, from my understanding, like lying to Gary, like I guess we don't know her sexuality for sure. She does like presumably if we're presuming that she presumably if we're presuming so good at language. If she's, you know, we've seen her like make out with this woman, and if that's like what her sexuality is, and then she's like, but like to cheer Clint up, like go on a double date. Like she's not like entirely being super honest with Gary either. It's for like entirely different reasons that feel much more justified than like lying about Gary getting on the baseball team. I just think it's like kind of complicated and it's interesting.
It's, I think, again, like a safety thing, right? Like she needs the survivor term meat shield of of Gary here to kind of protect her. And she knows, like, people are already, because we even see in an earlier episode, she's just at the game watching the game and people are like, is that your girl? What is she like? People are already doing this for her, so she's just like riding the wave that's being put in front of her.
Does anybody feel a little bit bad for Gary, who seems to actually like Max?
And yeah, because he's like, we could be them.
And she says, we can never be them. We will never be them.
I mean, it is a high bar, but I do feel bad for her.
it's really tough. You probably prefer, you know, talk about Misha, like it's a beard, right? Like the idea of a beard, which I guess if folks don't know, like the idea that you would like date somebody, typically for like gay men, your beard is like the fake girlfriend you have, so nobody suspects that you're gay. But yeah, it's not, you know, preferably if someone is being your beard or your meat shield, they're like in on it to an extent, you know. But again, it's at a time where it's like, you know, you talk about safety, blows up her whole world. And speaking of her parents, she's going to come back to her house and her parents are talking and specifically about Berta, who we saw earlier because she drove off on her cool motorcycle.
Ooh, like a motorcycle.
Yeah. I never heard this term before. I thought I knew all the gay terms. What if your daughter is an invert? And I do really uh-huh. love Edgar in this scene, just being like, so what if your daughter is an invert? Like, what, you're not going to love her? Like, you know, like Edgar. Good dad. Mm-hmm. Good dad. Not that Tony is a bad mom, but Edgar, good dad.
Well, Tony has seen from her she's like, I've seen what it's like being gay in this world because of my sister, and I don't want that for my daughter. Where Edgar is just like, I love his love. I love everybody. Oh. You know, like, love my daughter.
Wait, invert? Wait.
Did you Google it?
Yes. So this is interesting. So invert is it sexual inversion is the idea that people who appeared physically male or female on the outside but felt internally that they were of the opposite anatomical sex.
I
remember your nickname now. You're Googling Grace.
Googling Grace, not big time.
Not big time Grace.
A nickname that was almost given to me. Interesting, very interesting.
This idea that, like, different than
pre-understanding of probably transgender people, not that in the 40s it didn't exist, but probably this idea that, like, oh, that can explain. There is this weird thing, I think this thing that's been happening recently, where it's like this idea that, like, people are just trying to make their like gay kids trans because it will be like more socially acceptable. Like, it's a weird, very weird, like, backwards logic that people have. But yeah, I guess it's like there is just this thing of like, sometimes people are so like heteronormativity, like, makes so much sense to people that, like, the only way gay people could exist is if, like, you actually, like, you were actually, like, born the wrong gender, right? Like, there's just like sometimes this weird thing. So yeah, I think that's what they're, when they're talking about, what if your daughter's an invert, is this idea that, like, what if she thinks she's like male on the inside, which, again, back to like gender roles, this idea that she's playing baseball, like, yeah.
Well, and we don't see Bertha, right? Like, we don't see Bertha. We just see
cool motorcycle,
right? Yeah. So we don't know what that person
right
looks like or has gone through or anything like that.
Yeah, it makes me think back to episode 3, and I don't remember if we discussed this or not, but there was a scene where Max was dressing a little bit more masculine, and she was speaking to the person that she is having this affair with, and was taking a lot of pride in her appearance and was like, I like the way I look right now as, you know, dressing masculine. I mean, it could definitely be a part of this all. It
very is interesting. Yeah.
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 Exciting to see how it unfolds.
Yeah. So Max does get the shot. As we said, it doesn't go well. It's so sad. I don't like it. And so interesting. And so she's going to go to the game, see them fighting, see them not as a unit. I think
yeah. How do we feel about this? So like Lupe and Carson were deemed co-coaches, right? Yes. And they have like very different ways. Greta comes out and says like, hey, Lupe, no one's ever going to choose you. It's always going to be Carson, which, you know, we haven't really talked about like the Latine experience in the situation, but there's a couple of comments in previous episodes about how Lupe, saying Lupe's from Spain is a lot more palatable than being from Mexico, because I don't know why Spaniards conquered Mexico. I have no idea, but this is also coming from a Mexican. But then here, you know, I think this is Greta also saying like, hey, Lupe, no one's gonna ever, you know, be led by you. They're always gonna choose Carson. And I think her ethnicity plays a part in that as well. Then they're like, they like have a fight. Do we think this is Lupe's fault? This fight? Where do we see the fight landing?
Yeah, whose fault is it? I don't know if I want to cast total like person's fault. Yeah.
Yeah, it just kind of like happens, but I think like the team is like I don't know. So, I think the perception from the show was trying to put it on someone.
This is interesting because I hadn't really thought about that, but there. So, because to me, the reason why like Lupe is isolated is because she was sort of like hung out with Dove, right?
The favorite. She was seen as the favorite, right, or the teacher's pet,
right? But then interesting whether they'll because like she's the one who she. Like, you know, shoots first to invoke some Star Wars language.
And also Cobra Kai.
Yeah. And so she's the Spanish striker. They sort of like are invoking like nicknames that are, you know, I think at some point, so she get called the hot tamale. I don't know if that's.
Yeah, no, right. Something along the, or, you know, hot tempered.
Right.
Yeah.
So whether that comes into of this idea of like a you know playing into that stereotype, I could be, you know, in terms of like if that's part of the story of like, you know, Lupe striking, you know, tackling first or pushing first or whatever it ended up being in terms of like whether people perceive her to be that way, even though she's like she's treated a bit unfair. She's like, I want to pitch, you know, right. And you know, it's done in this way of like, no, we're protecting you. But like, you know, she has autonomy over herself. Did she do what she wants to do? You know?
Yeah. She's literally saying like, let me in, like I want to play. Yeah. And then Carson's kind of taking on this like motherly or like, I know better role of saying, no, like, you know, you have to take care of yourself. And Lupe is frustrated. She's been benched for seemingly weeks. She knows that she's the best pitcher on the team and she's getting nowhere, and she's being told by you know, it's one thing to be told by Dove, who is their coach. It's another thing to be told that she can't play by, you know, an equal or a peer that she can't play. I'm sure that's frustrating. So this argument on the pitcher's mound is inevitable because they're not a cohesive team. They don't have, you know, they don't have a leader. They don't have a coach. They don't have, you know, strict things to keep them in line. So,
and I think we also see like two very vastly different approaches to the game, because we've got like Carson comes in with her index cards and stats all about like the Blue Sox and, you know, who does what when and all this stuff. And I think Lupe is much more of an intuitive player, and that's where sometimes it can be misconstrued as hot temper or impulsive or something like that, because she just knows and feels the game and makes decisions from her gut, as opposed to having a bunch of logic and reasoning and stats behind the decisions she's making. So
I wonder also with her stat cards, I wonder if is that why Dove gets hired? Does he like stats, right? Is he like, look, I'm inventing, look, Moneyball. Have you read Moneyball?
He's like, you know, Carson tries to explain it. Like, this is like a system that nobody should really understand except for me. And he's like, yeah, I got it.
Yeah, and then he goes and then he fails because he doesn't understand the stats.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dueling managers, I think, is like, if again, I feel like this show does a very good job of like playing with like sitcom, like it feels sitcom-y, but it's like a 40-minute drama too. And so like the two of them coaching, giving signs, it's very fun.
It's kind of like a deconstructed entree, because they took the meet the movie and kind of sliced it up, because we get like the dual coaches, but it's not, you know, your Jimmy and Dottie, it's Carson and Lupe.
They're doing the same thing, right?
Yeah.
It's great.
You get your sisters, homage, but they're somewhere else. You know, like we're getting elements. It's like a deconstructed sandwich.
Yeah. Love it.
Good metaphor. Thank you. Although you're never supposed to trust someone who likes a sandwich.
Yeah, don't trust people who like sandwiches.
Yeah. There's a lot in the loop. Again, Greta has just come out of the conversation with Shirley, where Shirley's like, Joe's queer, and comes around the corner to Lupe, and Lupe's like, what's wrong with your face? You look crazy. So they're gonna argue, and then we don't really see resolution, right? They fight. Coach is officially gone until there's a sub. God help us.
Reprimanded.
Yeah. And then Max is gonna talk to Carson. So no resolution on who's coaching this team.
Do you think we'll get a new coach?
Boy, that would.
We need it, right?
So. The one thing I think is really, I think the choice to bring in Dev, whether or not he comes back, this idea that, the show is about women, right?
Right.
And so, or potentially like non-binary folks or whatever. This idea that like, it shouldn't be like, this guy comes in and he's like the can fix the team, and so the fact that like Dev just leaves almost immediately is like very intriguing to me, because it feels like if I'm like what would the league do, they would just immediately hire a new coach, right? They'd find somebody else who would do it, although we're not at the point where like the league doesn't, there's not this storyline right now of like whether the league is a success or not, right? We had the thing the newspaper article that all the women were like, seeing, like, oh, this will end eventually. The boys will come back from the war, but it hasn't been like but whether this is a thing that's like even worthwhile to go and do. So I don't know. I don't know whether they're going to get a new coach or not.
I kind of hope they don't, at least for a little while, to kind of show what women can do in this case. I think it is interesting because Shirley's like, it's baseball. There has to be a man. So I hope at least for the next episode, we don't. I mean, again, the audience probably knows what happens, but like, I really hope that we get some more games that are coached by the team itself a little bit.
In the propaganda too, it's like, and Dove Casey teaches them how real men play, play the game, right? Like, there's very much this energy of like, women can control, they can play the base, they wouldn't know what to do. I do think Lupe like actually throwing out her arm and like being out for the season, then just straight up being the coach, like taking, you know, whatever. Because like, where's Max fit in? If Max is coming in to be the pitcher,
Lupe, I mean, it can also be the pitcher.
Yeah. There also is, you know, like, I don't like to play into stereotypes, but there also is this, like, especially like old baseball coaches are like, there was this thing of like, you need and actually it's still recently the manager of my favorite team, the Toronto Blue Jays, like was often criticized. He got fired over the season, but he often got like criticized for not being fiery enough, like not sticking up for his team and like not like inciting passion in his team. And like, if they're like, a call doesn't go their way, and he would come out and they're like, God, he's so like, look how tame he is. He needs to be like mad and furious that like, you know, the thing, so he'll fire up his team and his team will win. So I feel like there still is that like thing of like what it is. It's interesting. He was, I don't know, Charlie Montoya. I don't know where he's from, but he would be Hispanic or Latinx. So it's interesting that they were like, he's not fiery enough. Like he can't coach this team. He's like not doing great. He's Puerto Rican. Interesting. So I could see sort of Lupe in like the vein of like this old style of the coaches who would come out and like yell at the umpire. I mean, I could, you know, you could see Lupe like fitting into that.
Well, Jimmy did that a couple times in the movie.
Jimmy does it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we didn't necessarily see it from Dove.
there's a really famous clip of this coach who comes out, and I believe it got, I don't know if like it got put in a book or whatever, but he comes out and he's yelling at the umpire, but he's being like, you need to toss me out of this game right now because like I need my team to get fired. So he's not actually complaining to the umpire. He's like pretending to be mad. And he's like, you need me to drop an F-bomb? Like, I'll drop an F-bomb so you can kick me out of the game. Like, whatever you need to do to kick me out without ever actually saying anything bad to the umpire is like, yeah, it's very funny. All right. Yeah, that's I think the other
the lights.
Yes, is the game. Is very fun. So they're playing the night game. Nobody noticed that the light was being turned off.
I noticed it. I don't know how the umpire didn't notice, or the audience, or the coaches.
I don't know. I was stretching my believability of like nobody noticed that the left field light gets turned off every like nobody. Okay, all right, sure. I'll ride with the show because I'm enjoying pretty much everything that I'm seeing on my screen. Yeah,
this was like huge in baseball time though. Like night games changed everything. Yeah. It was a huge deal. So the fact that they got a night game so early in their little season, I think was like shows how much they were, I guess, needing baseball or wanted to put money behind baseball. But I did enjoy the, you know, the Blue Sox have won every single night game. I wonder, how did they do that?
How'd that happen?
Oh, yeah, wow, what's going on? Coincidence.
Oh, wow, look at that.
So silly.
That's
yeah,
like the very sports movie though, right?
Like, it is. I just need it to be like slightly better. I need it like to be like stealing signs or whatever. The most famous stadium in the League of Their Own series, the most famous as Wrigley Field, where the tryouts are held, was notorious for never holding night games until 1988, 42. So right before they were going to, and actually there were temporary lights put in for an All-American Girls Professional League game. Their All-Star game was played at Wrigley Field with temporary lights. And it was the first night game ever played at Wrigley Field until the MLB has a game in 1988.
Wow. Huge deal. Also really bright. Deal. Makes the whole neighborhood in Wrigley like it's real bright. I don't know if baseball, I want
like, baseball was like fully a like daytime thing. You like went during the day. You watched the games during the day. It wasn't until like lights, you know, it seems like that they wouldn't have lights, but yeah, it took a long time for lights to get introduced across baseball so they could play at night. It could be a nighttime activity you go and do. Yeah. Is there anything else from this episode? I thought really fun the scene where they like cut through the church to like the new roommates that like Carson has essentially set up. Jess being like I think it's about her. Is it about her boxers or about her cigarettes? Like, how'd you get these in here? I said they were for my brother.
Yeah, it was the boxers.
It's for boxers. But then I feel like, is Joe wearing boxers later?
Yeah,
I
think she got boxers.
Yeah, it's so
because it's Jess got it from a brother, and Joe asked how many brothers do you have, and then she wound up getting boxers.
Yeah, see, that's so great. That's so good. More SC and Lupe, SC prep. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, no. SC and Lupe, I'm interested in that. I think it was the line was funny when Lupe was like, yes, it's such a coincidence and random you and I got roomed together.
SC and Lupe, like, what a coincidence. There's also the line where Lupe being her translator.
Yes.
So she's like, I'll be the coach. And Essie's like, you will be the coach. Like, she's giggling because she approves of my nomination. It's really good. I mean, I think Essie's probably been the like least certain. Maybelle hasn't got a ton. Then there's sort of like the rest of them, the like extras. But yeah.
Well, one other thing. Speaking of Este was like the base stealer in the situation. And like a big, like there was that moment where the Sarges, I'm gonna call them, were that, like there
yeah.
was
oh yeah
a general gentleman's agreement that we do not steal bases, like this is, and Carson's like, oh well, I don't see any gentlemen here, like
I to her point a couple episodes about like how Vivian comes in and you're like expecting her to be like villainous, and then they're like, why'd you do it's just like so I could have free, this is my way of getting freedom. I feel like all of the women for sure have been given a ton of depth this season, because Beverly you also would think would be like sort of just this like mean brooding chaperone, and she, you know, she's more than that. She's not a two-dimensional character. Also the stuff with Maybelle and Shirley of like talking about Joe, never trust a woman who loves a sandwich. She talks a lot about Katherine Hepburn and pants. Is very good. Anything else? Did we miss anything?
No, I'm sure we did. So I just want to confirm. So they've played the Blue Sox. They've mm-hmm. played the Comets, but we haven't seen the Bells yet,
right?
I don't
think we've seen the Rancing Bells,
Correct. Mm. We've been to Kenosha, but not Racine, Wisconsin. So maybe that's next.
Well, because Jess says if we beat them, we'll win the league, right? Which is not how the league works. That's not how standings work or playoffs. I don't know if they have playoffs. But I'm sure we will get that. I thought this was really good. I'm really enjoying this. This is exactly the halfway point for us. I thought very good, very strong episode. I believe we'll have some guests coming on as we round out our last four episodes. I think particularly exciting, the show is examining the lens of like the Black experience of America. I was about to say in the 1940s and then say like, and our guests will come on. We don't have anybody who was alive in the 40s coming on. If I could book them, I would. But we'll have people who can speak to like the Black experience in America, which is something none of us can speak to. So exciting on that front. Marissa, what else do you have going on in the world?
Well, what else besides just being, just existing? Mm-hmm. I am talking The Bear with LaTanya Starks. We are wrapping up our coverage of that show. We did like two episodes an episode. We are enjoying that. It's been fun. We've had a bunch of different guests on as well. So that's been fun.
You're doing two episodes at a time?
We did two episodes.
You could call it The Bear.
Grace. Yeah, we can call it the Bear Pair.
The Bear
Pair. We've got episodes happening. And then I'm hanging out in the Discord at PortiaRecaps.com/Patreon. You can check out the conversations there. Lots of good stuff happening, as always, in that space. Or find me on Twitter at MarsBars, MarzBars. That's what I got. Sarah, what's up with you?
Well, Marissa, what would you say if I told you that I am covering a show that has murder, that has intrigue, that has mystery, there's a 90s element.
Written for you? Like, did they call you and say?
I think so. But I am covering Pretty Little Liars Original Sin with Jessica Sterling. Having so much fun. There could probably be apples. I don't know. Apple computers. There's probably an Apple computer. Does that
not
work?
For the villain?
Nope.
As we've established,
but it is so much fun. It's so good. Check it out. It's the right mix of like stupid fun. It's fun. It's stupid fun. So check that out. We are covering it on Post Show Recaps. I am also covering Dawson's Creek and Boy Meets World over at Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. We're also covering Xenon Girl of the 21st Century. So very excited to cover that.
Is it weird to cover that show in the 21st century?
Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you that. There's a lot of things that they thought we would have by now that we do not. So that's what I have to say about that. You can find me at Sarah Ferguson. And Grace, what about you?
Yes, covering a few things here on Post Show Recaps, including The Sandman with Philly. We're making our way through all 10 episodes that dropped on Netflix. It's been very, very good so far.
Would you say you're making your way through the episodes?
Yep.
Okay, just making sure.
What we do in the Shadows with Lindsay Wilson has been very enjoyable. If you want to hear us just like repeat all the funny things that they said in the episode... I have the perfect podcast for you. Post Show Recaps Theater with Ariel, covering all sorts of movies. It's a little bit of a light month in August for the theatrical releases, but that's okay. We'll work our way through it. And I'll be covering House of the Dragon every Sunday night after the episode airs with Mike Bloom, with many guests along the way. So excited for that. Over on Rob is a podcast, cover sports with the Offspeed podcast. And I'm on Twitter at Hi From Grace. This has been our episode 4 coverage. We'll be back with episode 5 coverage in a few days' time. Until then, play off the high ones.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.